White House, it would not surprise me if Bolton was one of the sources for the whistleblower who apparently...
...window, looking quietly down at the path. A firefly flew in his room and flew right out again. Down jumped the prince, and he went again to find his radio.
Hi, this is Lance Treadwell from Albany, New York. You're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Perfect.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of E-Team of Sunnyside, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Michael Goot reports for the Post Star that a U.S. District Court judge September 30th dismissed a case New York and three other states filed challenging the constitutionality of the 2017 federal tax reform plan. New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and Connecticut filed a lawsuit over the $10,000 cap on the amount of state and local taxes that could be deducted on a federal return. The suit claimed the tax law unfairly penalizes Democratic-run states. Quote, there is no doubt in my mind that President Trump's unfair tax policy targets New York and other blue states by funding tax cuts for corporations and the rich on the backs of New Yorkers, unquote, he said. Read more about this story at the Post Star.
Diane Vounden is reporting for the Columbia paper. The town of Ankrum officials bid farewell to longtime appointed assessor Ken Leggett September 19th. He served in the position for 12 years. Leggett, a Livingston resident, started working on that town's highway crew in September 1974. He went on to become the elected assessor there in 1980. He leaves his assessor position in both Ankrum and Livingston as of September 30th. The Ankrum Town Board voted unanimously to appoint longtime Gallatin assessor Rene DeLieu to fill the town's assessor post for a six-year term beginning October 1st. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Nikki Schwab and Bob Fredericks report in the New York Post that Republican New York Congressperson Chris Collins resigned September 30th. The Buffalo area lawmaker resigned the day before he was expected to plead guilty in Manhattan federal court to insider trading charges. Governor Andrew Cuomo can either call a special election or leave the seat vacant until the next general election in November 2020. If he calls a special election, he could time it with village elections next March or with the presidential primary election in April. Read more about this story in the New York Post.
Dan Friedman is reporting for the Times Union. Small family farms, especially those in upstate New York, are still idealized as the backbone of America, but price fluctuations, oversupply, more frequent hurricanes, and constant squeezing by middlemen and grocery chains have made it difficult for many farmers to make a living, particularly in the fresh fruit and vegetable sector. In New York alone, the number of farms declined by 6% between 2012 and 2017, and nearly 11,000 acres of vegetable were taken out of production. Chris Poleski of Poleski Farms outside of Goshen told a reporter, and I quote, I don't even encourage my own children to go into farming anymore. It eats me up inside. But how do I, in good conscience, tell them that farming is good when I'm $250,000 in debt and I'm at the mercy of the market situation and the weather, end quote. Last week, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand sent a letter to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture calling for a review of the pricing structure of the fresh fruit and vegetable industry. Gillibrand wrote it, and I quote, poses a risk to our food security as we rely more on the production of foreign nations, leading to our current $2.1 billion fruit and vegetable trade deficit, end quote. Data gathered by Gillibrand's staff shows that over the last 20 years, wholesale prices for broccoli, green beans, cabbage, and apples have gone up more rapidly than what farmers receive for that same produce. Tom Stenzel, president and CEO of the United Fresh Produce Association, wrote in a statement, and I quote, "The fresh produce industry operates on extremely tight margins. Our industry is the ultimate supply and demand economy, and our real goal must be to increase demand for fresh fruit and vegetables. That's the key to raising prices paid to farmers," end quote. Gillibrand said she planned to introduce legislation that provides for real-time pricing to farmers, and I quote, so they're no longer left in the dark, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that first responders from State Department of Environmental Conservation Rangers, the Caro Fire Department, Caro Police, Round Top Fire Department, Hensonville Fire Department, State Police, and the Greene County Sheriff's Office responded to a fire on Blackhead Mountain September 27th. Quote, it was most likely due to an unattended campfire, unquote, Ranger Rob Dawson said September 30th, noting an illegal campsite too close to the trail there. About 434 square feet of forest at 3,300 feet in elevation was burnt by the fire that took 20 hours to extinguish. Weather forecasters in Albany say rain for the area north of the Greene County Mountain is about 3/4 of an inch below normal, while in Poughkeepsie it is 3 inches below normal for the past month. Forecasters are predicting lots of rain later this week, though. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper. The Chatham Village Planning Board met September 23rd to review and approve plans for a new single-screen movie theater at 4 Depot Square. The building to be constructed will face the train station that houses a branch of Community Bank and next to the Harrington's Building Supply Store. The theater will be built by Jack Shear and run by the Crandall Theater, a nonprofit organization. The new theater is intended to supplement the Crandall's existing offering and part of a plan to complete the renovation of the historic larger theater at 48 Main Street. The Depot Square building will have about 11 rows of seats as well as a lobby. The planning board waived the parking requirements for the project and voted unanimously to approve the site plan. All four board members were present. Aaron Gaylord, who represented Shear at the meeting and is responsible for the construction, said they hope to have the project completed within a year. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Democrat Karen Smith announced over the weekend that she will try again to win the Hudson Valley State Senate seat now held by Republican Senator Sue Serino. The 41st Senate District represents Dutchess and Putnam counties. Smith is selling new Democratic control of the Senate as a reason to vote for her. Quote, our communities need state resources, and as a member of the new Senate majority, I will fight tirelessly to address the diverse needs of our towns and cities. During these challenging times, we need a state government that works for all of us, and I am committed to being a fighter for Dutchess and Putnam counties, unquote, she said. Serino has held the seat since beating Democrat Terry Gibson in 2014, and she also beat Smith in 2018. Nick Reisman has that story at New York State of Politics.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Students from Cornell University are coming to Catskill to assess the area and provide information that will be used for the town's new comprehensive plan. Approximately a dozen graduate and undergraduate students from Cornell's City and Regional Planning Department will collect data on October 5th and 6th. The information will eventually be compiled into a report and delivered to the town in December. The project is being undertaken in conjunction with the Hudson River Estuary Program. Catskill Town Supervisor Doreen Davis said, and I quote, it's an extraordinary opportunity to have this level of expertise and not have to budget for it, end quote. The town board made an informal commitment to review the comprehensive plan in February and applied for a State Department of Environmental Conservation Community Smart Growth Grant in June to help with the process. Davis said the idea behind taking inventory of scenic resources is to balance conservation and economic growth. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 64. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Wednesday night, showers are likely mainly before 2 a.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 48. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXE program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, October 3rd, WGXE Live will carry a live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill of an evening curated by the Workers Unite Film Festival, featuring a tribute to local artist Bruce Anderson and performances from Brooklyn-based Color Collage, Catskill's Gary's Dream, and Palinville's Potted Plant, plus a screening of Final Cuts. The webcast begins at 7 p.m. at wgxc.org/listen and is also on 90.7 FM after 8 p.m. until 10 p.m., when it will continue as a webcast at wgxc.org/listen. On Friday, October 4th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. It's Just Pythons is a Catskill-based grunge band with Danny Scher of Horse Torso on drums, Chad Vizior of Blacklist on bass, Aaron Martin of the Aaron Martin Band on lead guitar, Liam Singer on keys and synth, and Mel Flannery of Kevin Morby on rhythm guitar and vocals. The Hudson-based rock band Aaron Martin Band also performs, as well as bassist and composer C.J. Boyd, who uses low-end loops and voices in order to try and stop time. DJ Legend performs after the bands. There should be a live web stream at wgxc.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the live web stream. The show will air on 90.7 FM until 10 p.m., then continue as a web stream at wgxc.org/listen. See theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Tuesday, October 1st, featured art shown is by Paul Emile Rieu and Laura Gaton at the Hudson Underground on Warren Street from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. A selection of wines and culinary samples are included. The Catskill Town Board meets on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. On Wednesday, October 2nd, award-winning writer Emily Sekar, founder of the Hudson Valley Memoir Collective, will be the guest speaker at a buffet luncheon sponsored by the Friends of the Hudson Area Library in the library's community room from 12 to 2 p.m. City of Hudson Board of Estimate and Apportionment Budget Workshop, focusing on the Department of Public Works, will be held at Hudson City Hall from 3 to 5 p.m. Rescheduled September 25th meeting of the Catskill Housing Authority Board will be held at the Catskill Housing Authority on Bronson Street at 4 p.m. The Hudson Underground hosts a peer-led and confidential group for LGBTQIA adults where anything can be discussed free of judgment, first and third Wednesdays of every month at 6 p.m. Slide guitarist and bandleader Sony Landreth performs at Club Helsinki Hudson at 8 p.m. On Thursday, October 3rd, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, this class will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. Registration is limited at programs at hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. An evening curated by the Workers Unite Film Festival, featuring a tribute to local artist Bruce Anderson and a performance from Brooklyn-based Color Collage, Catskill's Gary's Dream, and Palinville's Potted Plant, and a screening of Final Cuts at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 11 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. Les Filles de Il Giadad from Niger perform, led by Fatou Sidi Gali, at the Half Moon in Hudson at 8 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
It's 9 o'clock on Monday night, and I guess you have a 2-hour show. Something about the dark side, you know, from 8 to 10. It's the absolute worst. Who decided to put this on the air instead of a local programmer or a local DJ? What's going on at that radio station? You guys, like, getting rid of all the local programmers and putting this stuff that, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just so bad. This program is especially awful. Has no place on a so-called, you know, creative, la-di-da, local radio station. Do us all a favor. Get rid of it.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
To come here and see the growing Latino community in Des Moines and in Iowa, it's fantastic to see. You have Mexican Americans, Puerto Ricans, Salvadorans. So it's exciting to see the community growing here and the folks that are powering different industries in Iowa more and more. So it's been great. You know, we've had some wonderful conversations.
That was Texas Representative Joaquin Castro, Democratic hopeful Julian Castro's twin brother. He campaigned for his brother at the Iowa Latino Heritage Festival Soapbox over the weekend. The Soapbox was co-sponsored by D.C.-based Latino Victory Foundation, part of a progressive collection of organizations co-founded by actress Eva Longoria. Here's Executive Director Myra Macias.
Why we're so interested in partnering up with the Soapbox is that we want to make sure that we're helping uplift local Latino organizations that are doing, you know, the hard work of educating and mobilizing the Latino community so that they're actively engaged.
Castro was not the only speaker at the Soapbox. Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard and former Pennsylvania Representative Joe Sestak spoke, as well as many Latino senior staff members of other candidates' campaigns.
It was just so powerful to hear from so many diverse Latino voices because, you know, Latino community is not a monolith. And it was just so inspiring to see the various paths that people took to get the positions where they are. And despite, you know, whomever they're supporting or whomever they're campaigning for, to know that these folks are centering the Latino community in their work.
Some local Republican politicians did attend the Soapbox and speak. All of the Republican presidential candidates were invited, but none participated, including President Donald Trump, who's embroiled in the whistleblower scandal. This upcoming election cycle, the Latino community is on track to be the largest non-white ethnic voting bloc, with 32 million eligible voters, just over 13% of the voter population. According to a report from Pew Research Center, an increase in Hispanic and Asian populations since 2000 makes about a third of projected 2020 eligible voters non-white. Here's Marcias again.
That folks who may not be civically engaged, you know, see themselves represented or see folks that look like them advocating and centering our communities is just so powerful, and it's going to be so critical to making sure that we realize our political potential.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
There's a reissue online of Brian Dewan's 1997 7-inch Free Lunch. Here is the children's story from J. Otto Seibold and Vivian Walsh, told by Catskill's Brian Dewan.
Free lunch, free lunch, free lunch, free lunch. Our story begins.
Mr. Lunch was very good at chasing birds. In fact, he was a professional. Every morning, Mr. Lunch liked to meet with the birds for bird chasing practice. To get ready to go really fast, Mr. Lunch would stretch his back and the birds would flap their wings.
1, 2, 3, 4! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Afternoons were reserved for office work. There was a lot to do, such as reading the mail and placing birdseed orders.
Notice!
Change of elephant!
One afternoon, Mr. Lunch got a letter from the Elephant Brand Birdseed Company. It said there was a new elephant in charge. The old president was a good elephant with an excellent nose for seeds. Mr. Lunch wondered where he could have gone. Maybe the elephant went on one of his trips, thought Mr. Lunch. Mr. Lunch was happy to order some new seeds from the new elephant. But the new seeds did not make the birds happy. As time passed, the seeds became...
Rocks!
The matter was brought to Mr. Lunch's attention. He conducted a careful examination and determined that the seeds were indeed rocks. The birds didn't like rocks. Ambrose, the red bird, said, "I have an idea." He had a friend who lived in the country, surrounded by birdseed trees. "Maybe we should go visit," said Ambrose. Everybody liked Ambrose's idea. They gathered everything they would need to pick the seeds.
Wheelbarrow, field guide, ladder,
boot,
snack,
basket, and then drove off to find Ambrose's friend. Ambrose was happy to see his old friend. Her name was Gunhild. She showed them a good place to get started.
Welcome, Ambrose, welcome, Ambrose.
It was a lovely garden. But not everyone was so happy. High overhead, someone was spying on them. It was the new Birdseed Company elephant. He was very angry. He did not like to see birds eating free seeds. He did not like many things. He did not like Mr. Lunch. He hatched an evil elephant idea. Quickly, he painted a sign. It read, "Dogs must remain on a leash." Minutes later, the police arrived and arrested Mr. Lunch for being off the leash. Ambrose told the police they were making a big mistake. "That's for the judge to decide," said the officer. "I should probably arrest you, too. But I don't have a jail small enough to hold birds." Mr. Lunch was sure there had been a misunderstanding. He didn't even have a leash. He would explain his story to the judge and be set free.
Quiet!
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 Quiet in the courtroom! Quiet in the courtroom!
But the judge was an owl, and like all owls, she stayed up all night and slept all day. The judge never heard a word Mr. Lunch said. She was deep in sleep. Mr. Lunch would have to wait in jail. Now turn over the record and put on side two. Mr. Lunch had never been in jail before. Mr. Lunch spent his days looking for shapes in the clouds.
Bicycle!
Gum!
Australia!
Elephant!
Popcorn!
Food!
Chair!
Wig!
Bag! Phone!
Caterpillar!
Locomotive!
Turtle!
Joe!
Baby!
Monkey! Bear! The nights were more lonely. Ambrose wanted to help Mr. Lunch. It was time to pay a visit to the bake shop. He asked the chef if he could hide something special inside a piece of cake. The chef said, "No, no, that would not be right. That would be breaking the baker's code." He did have a little secret, though. One that could help Mr. Lunch.
Psst, psst.
A pink package was prepared. Ambrose and Gunhild delivered it to jail. Mr. Lunch was surprised when a piece of cake showed up. He ate it very carefully. He didn't want to swallow a file or anything. Mr. Lunch finished the cake without finding anything that could help him escape. He felt sad, but being a neat dog, he still took care to wipe his face. As he was cleaning around his eyes, he noticed that there was some writing on his napkin. It was a map. Ambrose had drawn an escape route. It turned out Mr. Lunch's jail room was right over an abandoned ruby mine. Mr. Lunch began to dig. He dug until he found a big surprise. It was the ex-president of the Elephant Brand Birdseed Company. And he was surrounded by shiny red rocks. Rubies! Even though he was upside down, Mr. Lunch could see that the elephant was feeling sad and blue. This was not on Ambrose's escape map. Mr. Lunch decided to investigate. The elephant was mumbling. As Mr. Lunch got closer, he heard, "Tricked, trapped, trick-trap, tripped." "I have been tricked into a trap," said the elephant. He told Mr. Lunch how the evil elephant had locked him up in the ruby mine so he could take over the birdseed company. Mr. Lunch knew this was true because he had been tricked by that elephant too. The evil elephant had sealed the mine with a big rock. There was only one chance for escape, a hole in the ceiling. But it was too small for an elephant and too high up for a dog. Things looked grim. Then the elephant had a good idea. Mr. Lunch shot through the roof and out into the nighttime sky. He was free! Far off in a tree, Judge Owl was wide awake. She thought the flying dog looked familiar, as if from a dream. She flew over to investigate. As the owl and Mr. Lunch floated down to earth, Mr. Lunch explained everything about the good elephant and the bad elephant, about the rubies and the rocks. Judge Owl said, "Don't worry, I will take care of everything." And she did.
Hi, I'm Carol from Athens, New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Accra or anytime at WGXC.org.
Wavefarm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Judd Malton of Hillsdale, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service DOA newscast for Tuesday, October the 1st, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The Australian Prime Minister gets into the mix on Trump efforts to dig up dirt on Biden. Plus, could immigrants help fill the healthcare workforce gap? Topping our news, President Trump pushed the Australian Prime Minister during a recent call to help the Attorney General, Bill Barr, gather information for a Justice Department inquiry. The White House curbed access to a transcript of the call, which the President made at Barr's request. The New York Times notes the discussion with Prime Minister Morrison shows the extent to which Mr. Trump views the Attorney General as a critical partner. And immigrants could help Tennessee fill its healthcare workforce gap. That's according to a new report by the Business Forward Foundation.
Foreign-born individuals currently make up less than 5% of the state's total population. President of the foundation, Jim Doyle, says the number of Tennessee seniors will nearly double by 2070. He points out that without new immigrants, the ongoing doctor shortage and lack of healthcare access experienced by people living in rural parts of the state will worsen.
And the math suggests that if we cut off immigrants, then Tennessee is one of the states that's going to suffer most.
The report also found that immigrants provide Tennessee around $527 million in economic contributions each year. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
The report's authors say less restrictive immigration policies could grow Tennessee's GDP by $9.9 billion
and that's just over the next decade. For people from other countries looking for vacation spots, Suzanne Potter reports the U.S. may not be top of mind.
A new report blames President Donald Trump's policies for hurting international tourism to the U.S. The study cites what it calls the Trump slump in California tourism in particular. Jim Doyle heads the Business Forward Foundation, which produced the report. He notes that in the first 6 months of 2019, international tourism worldwide grew at a rate of 3 to 4%, but in the U.S. it contracted by 1.7%.
Calling Mexicans rapist, a trade war with China has hurt America's market share around the world, millions of jobs and billions of income, and no state's paying more than California.
The report says President Trump's Muslim travel ban, anti-immigrant policies and rhetoric, visa rollbacks, and tariffs on Chinese goods have combined to create a negative impression that drives foreign tourists away. The president has defended his policies, saying they are designed to protect national security and correct trade imbalances.
The report shows the U.S. overall share of international tourism is falling. Had its share remained the same as 2019, this year alone, the nation would have seen an additional 59 billion tourist visits. This is PNS. Domestic Violence Awareness Month begins today. Advocates are gathering in Ohio at the State House there, among other places, to reflect on progress made to help survivors while remembering the lives lost.
The Ohio Domestic Violence Network is honoring Representative Laura Lanise with the Croucher Family Award for Outstanding Leadership for her efforts to include $1 million in the state budget for domestic violence services. Executive Director Mario Doherty says it's the first time such funding has been included in the state's general fund.
Representative Lanise opened a door for us. We will be working with her to increase the state funding that flows to DV services. So it's our opportunity to rally the troops and to thank Representative Lanise, but also to say we've got a lot more work to do.
An annual list of domestic violence fatalities in Ohio also will be released, which shows that in the year ending July 1st, at least 81 lives were lost. 53 of the deceased were victims, including 41 women and 12 men. In 25% of fatalities, a child was present at the scene. Mary Sherman reporting.
The data shows that in 80% of cases where a woman actually killed a man, there was a past history of the woman having been abused by the man. Finally, Eric Gladys reports agriculture is the fourth largest producer of climate pollution, and farmers and ranchers across the U.S. have launched a campaign urging the Congress to pass a Green New Deal. It would support regenerative family farm and ranching practices over industrial agribusiness.
Catherine Paul with the group Regeneration International says farmers across the political spectrum are seeing the proposal as an opportunity to level the playing field.
The goals that are laid out in this Green New Deal are goals that we as farmers can help achieve in this country. We can be the clean water heroes. We can be the climate heroes. We can be the health heroes if we just get the policy and program support.
Paul notes that 85% of the nation's $25 billion farm subsidies go to the biggest 15% of businesses, which rely on factory farming, synthetic fertilizers, chemical pesticides, and other practices linked to increased air and water pollution. Paul says supporting cleaner practices will produce healthier food and enrich soil by capturing more carbon. Critics of the Green New Deal say it's too expensive and argue that a better way to address climate change would be to encourage innovation in the private sector. Paul says the Green New Deal is an opportunity to reinvest money we're already spending in innovative private family-scale farms. But she admits change won't come easy. Agribusiness currently spends more than the defense industry lobbying Congress.
What they want is rarely good for small, independent farmers and ranchers who are interested in farming in a way that benefits everyone.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. And we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tamro with the WGXC local news. Go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org and click on the WGXC newsroom to find out more information about any of these stories. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that last week, after opening a few weeks ago, all but two of the 25 rooms at the Galvin Civic Motel in Greenport are occupied. In March 2018, the Galvin Foundation bought the former Sunset Motel on Route 9 and has been remodeling and getting site plan approval since then to house local homeless individuals and families. The foundation is partnering with Columbia County Social Services to provide on-site social and mental health services, Commissioner Robert Gibson said, quote, "We're excited to provide more intensive services like this so we can help people get back on their feet more quickly," unquote. Rooms go for $85 per night. The Mental Health Association of Columbia and Greene Counties provides two full-time case managers to residents there. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Chris Bragg reports in the Albany Times-Union that a safety reminder to anyone using a tractor to mow a field one last time this fall. On September 28th, 86-year-old Bernard Jaskowski was riding a tractor, towing a brush hog and mowing at the Jaskowski farm in the town of Claverick. At one point, he got off and turned off the tractor, but it remained in gear. Getting back on, it started to move, and Jaskowski was run over by the rear tire. His 48-year-old son, Jay Jaskowski, standing next to the tractor, was also run over. They both ended up at Albany Medical Center, where they are in critical but stable condition. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Andrew Cuomo said September 28th that state police will increase patrols at synagogues and other religious centers in New York for the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur holidays. Rosh Hashanah began at sunset September 29th and ends Tuesday, October 1st, and marks the start of the Jewish New Year 5780. Yom Kippur begins in the evening on October 8th and ends the next evening. Quote, "We will not allow the cowards who contributed to the recent rash of hateful acts against the Jewish community and other groups to intimidate or divide us," unquote, Cuomo said. The Southern Poverty Law Center hate map currently lists 47 hate groups in New York State, but only one in the Hudson Valley. That is a white nationalist group called the Right Stuff in Hopewell Junction in Dutchess County. The village of Catskill was among the few local municipalities on the latest fiscal stress report from New York Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. On September 26th, his office released a list of towns, villages, and counties with fiscal stress designations, updated with financial information through the end of last year. The city of Poughkeepsie in Dutchess County was named under significant stress. The city of Albany and the village of Catskill were both considered susceptible to fiscal stress, according to the comptroller's office. The city of Watervliet and the town of Colony, both in Albany County, were also named as susceptible. See the link to the full report on the WGXC newsroom. This has been the WGXC news update. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org. for more information about anything you heard here.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather. Rain will be rolling through this morning, with temperatures starting in the upper 50s and rising to 80 by 4 p.m. Overnight, it will be a bit humid with rain and a little thunder, while temperatures drop to the upper 60s. Tomorrow, we'll have a chance of rain all day, with temperatures peaking at 73 around noon. Over on the river, while people are still using it, high tides will be at 5:11 a.m. and at 5:43 p.m. Low tide will be at 11:50 a.m. Water temperature will be 69 degrees. Looking way up, we see a quiet planetary neighborhood. A sunspot from the old cycle has emerged in the southern region of the sun, and a new near-Earth asteroid 21 meters wide will pass by our planet on October 9th. Current solar wind speed is 491 kilometers per second at a paltry 0.2 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity Radio Program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity Radio Program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Max Hamill of Red Hook, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being President of the United States.
The Hudson Area Library Tween Advisory Council presents an original escape room, Altered Zone, New York, Monday, October 14th from 11 to 3 at the Hudson Area Library.
Back by popular demand, come and play as a ragtag team of friends or family in this original escape room. This game is limited to 15 minutes, and the team with the shortest time will win a special prize!
RSVP online at HudsonAreaLibrary.org or call 518-828-1792. Don't miss all the fun.
Yeah, so come.
Here is a preview of the feature shows coming up on WGXC on Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. Start your day with the WGXC Morning Show, hosted by Tom Rowe. In the second hour, singer Mel Flannery and drummer Danny Shear will talk about the debut performance of their new band, It's Just Pythons. Then at 3 p.m., Framework, the field recording, phonography, and art of sound hunting, presented by Patrick Tubin McGinley, featuring Massimo Tugnetti and many others. And then at 6:30 p.m., Representative Antonio Delgado holds a town hall meeting at the Dutchess County Town Hall. WGXC will attempt to broadcast a congressperson's Facebook live feed on 90.7 FM. To view the full programming schedule, make a one-time donation, or become a sustaining donor, visit our website, wgxc.org.
This is WGXC's Congressional Report, tracking the votes, words, and actions of Representative Antonio Delgado, Democrat from Rhinebeck, representing the 19th Congressional District, Paul Tonko, a Democrat from Amsterdam, the 20th Congressional District. 538.com website reports that so far, first-term Congressperson Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 4.3% of the time. Since Democrats took over the House of Representatives, Tonko also votes with Trump's positions 2.1% of the time. In the previous congressional session, Tonko voted with Trump 22.6% of the time. Jeffrey Wilson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that the Hudson Valley Democrats in Congress are now united in support of an impeachment inquiry of the president. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who represents the 18th District in the Southern Hudson Valley, and Representative Antonio Delgado both announced September 24th that they were joining Representative Paul Tonko and almost 200 other Democrats supporting impeachment. Maloney said he is, quote, prepared to pursue an impeachment inquiry. I have had a high bar for putting the country through an impeachment inquiry, especially so close to an election, but these allegations go to the heart of the oath I took. There comes a time to put your country first, unquote. Delgado and Maloney committed publicly to impeachment just hours before House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also called for an official impeachment inquiry. New York Democrat Representative Joe Morell, who represents Rochester, also joined the list of those backing impeachment, which grew to over 200 by the end of the day. The U.S. Senate voted unanimously September 24th for a non-binding resolution calling for the whistleblower complaint related to President Trump's communications with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be released to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Trump admits to asking about Ukraine investigating the son of Democrat Joe Biden and was reportedly threatening to withhold Senate-approved funding for the country. House Democrats are expected to vote to condemn the president's actions with Ukraine in the September 25th vote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
On Twitter, Delgado wrote, and I quote, "The first responsibility of the President of the United States is to keep our country safe. But it has become clear that our president has placed his personal interest above the national security of our nation. I believe articles of impeachment are warranted," end quote. National Republican Congressional Committee spokesperson Michael McAdams responded to Delgado's announcement saying, and I quote, "In a district President Trump won by more than 6 points, Antonio Delgado's decision to pursue impeachment will be a political death sentence," end quote.
On September 25th, both Tonko and Delgado voted for the Safe Banking Act, which passed 321-103. This bill aims to make it easier for banks to do business with the cannabis industry. On September 27th, both Delgado and Tonko voted with all Democrats, 11 Republicans, and one independent to end the national emergency declared by the president on February 15th about the immigration issue. Paul Tonko does not list any public events this week on his website, nor on any other week. Antonio Delgado lists two future events on his website this week. At 6:30 p.m. October 1st, Delgado holds a town hall meeting at the Dutchess County Town Hall, 1215 Center Road in Rhinebeck. And he's also bringing FCC Commissioner Jeffrey Starks for a congressional field hearing on rural broadband at 1 p.m. October 4th in the Columbia Green Community College Arts Center. This has been the WGXC Congressional Report. Go to the website wgxc.org and click on the WGXC Newsroom to find out more about all these stories.
October 11th is the deadline to register for the November 5th town and county elections. This year, though, voting begins October 26th at a limited number of locations. Locally, Green has one location in Catskill, while other voters registered in Columbia County have three locations to vote ahead of November 5th, the county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building in Valencia, and the Copeg Town Hall in Copeg. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance site at 978 Coal Hill Road in East Bern will be set up for all voters registered in election districts in Bern, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerlo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm Avenue in Delmont will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coeymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall at 265 Sherman Road in Castleton-on-the-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain a political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home of more Democrats than GOP members.
I'm George Spencer, and once again, on Tuesday, Pauline DeCarmo and I we'll have our bi-monthly program on the afternoon show. At 4 p.m., we'll be visiting with Sandy Moore. Sandy's a painter, experimental filmmaker, writer, and M.D., a doctor. We'll be talking with her about growing up in North Carolina, studying and teaching at Yale and Cooper Union. We'll also be discussing her interest in history and social justice, and how these are reflected in her work. At 5 p.m., we'll be talking with Sienna Reed. She's a multimedia artist working in painting, drawing, video, photography, and ceramics, among other experimental processes. She is currently working on a large multimedia project that examines the media circus around the Amanda Knox trial in Italy, and the etymology and semantics of the words that were used to describe her by the police, prosecution, lawyers, media, and ultimately the anonymous online internetters. So on Tuesday, please listen in from 4 to 6 p.m. We're very excited to have two such interesting guests. Tune in and hear what they have to say.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Here is legendary Hudson Valley saxophonist Joe McPhee and New York City experimental musician Matt Motel performing together in the Wave Farm Study Center, November 18th, 2018.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur, or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Listening to WJFC Accra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.